I think you could agree, brethren, if the world only knew the blessings that come from keeping God's commandments, it would be a totally different world. It's really hard to look at the world today and see all the trouble that we're bringing on ourselves, really, because of lack of honor and respect for God and for one another. God's commandments show us the way of life and how to love Him and one another. If they could be obeyed in this world, the blessings would be astounding. But sadly, that's not the case. And we know the world is going to continue to have trouble and convulse until such a time that God steps in and intervenes, when the world does learn to obey God. It may be hard to believe when you look out on the landscape today and you see how bad things have become, that the world will one day turn to God. And there won't be a world where all this tragedy continually happens to us. But that is our hope, and we know it's coming. Scriptures are clear that God is going to bring peace to this world, and the world is going to obey God and reap the blessings that come from keeping His law. Well, thankfully for us now, we know His commandments. And if we're loving God and striving to keep His law from the heart, we're seeing the benefits that they bring in our lives even now. We're seeing that the pain and suffering that is in the world is oftentimes avoided by us because we wisely keep obedience to God's law. I know all of us desire for peaceful and long and productive lives. Of course, we all want that. But our best opportunity to have that is to keep God's law, to keep His commandments. And when it comes to the last six of the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment sets the tone for the last six. The fifth commandment, it is called the first commandment with promise. And that promise is given in the commandment itself. If you would, turn with me to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, and let's look at the fifth commandment. The commandment with promise. And that promise is long life and good days on earth. So in Deuteronomy 5, this is where Moses, in the last month of his life, recites for Israel the entire law, or really brings it down and boils it down into this one magnificent book of Deuteronomy. So this is the second telling of the law. And here we are in Deuteronomy chapter 5, where the commandments are listed in verse 16, we see the fifth commandment: to honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And this is identical in meaning, although it's a little more expansive in its description, but identical in meaning to where this same commandment is listed in Exodus 20. And the key instruction here is the command to honor your parents. And when we learn to do that in childhood, that teaches us respect for others. It teaches us how to yield to others and how to be teachable ourselves. Respect for authority is a godly attitude which is emphasized by the keeping of this commandment. This commandment, the fifth, forms the basis of all of our human relationships. It's the fifth of the ten, and the last six, 5 through 10, having to do with human relationships. How much disrespect and despising of authority that is in the world today. What wonderful blessings would flow to the whole world if people kept this commandment from the heart. Keeping all of God's commandments is a Christian responsibility. It's a responsibility for all of us. And it's a responsibility that flows into all of our relationships, even our relationships with authorities in the world. the people who God puts over us. It flows into the church, into respect for the authority that God has put into the church. These attitudes of the world, this respect for authority and despising of authority, do not belong in the church of God. So today I'm going to explain the blessing and the responsibility that comes from the fifth commandment. And I've titled this, Honor Your Elders. And today we're going to do this, a special potluck and ceremony, or not really a ceremony, a presentation, I should say, after services, really to show honor to our elders, something we should do at all times. Keeping the fifth commandment is good for our society. And that's the first point I'm going to make today, that keeping the fifth commandment is good for our society. I'd like you to turn over with me to Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21, and we could see here what the punishment is for the breaking of this commandment. And I'm talking here about an obstinate, continual breaking and stubbornness against keeping this commandment. And what is the punishment? We'll see here. It may seem harsh, but it is death. This is what God calls for someone who has never learned and has grown up to have an attitude of rebellion that could not only be harmful to himself, but also harmful to others, and could be infectious and contagious, actually, and become harmful to others. Let's look at it. These few verses here in Deuteronomy 21, and see what the law of God says about the punishment for not keeping the fifth commandment. Verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then this is what his father and mother should do. His father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice, and he is a glutton and a drunkard. So this is obviously an older child, a young man by now, who's developed these bad habits, these terrible habits of gluttony and drunkenness, even though his parents have raised him and tried to correct him and chastise him. And then all of the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, I referred to our United Church of God Bible reading commentary for some of my comments about this passage. It does seem very harsh. Death for disobedience to the fifth commandment. But this was, as I said, not a typical adolescent rebelliousness. It was really someone who had shown dishonor and disrespect for his parents for a long period of time. And we could picture this person as a grown young man. And to prevent others from emulating or copying that lifestyle, and to infect those around him, and to prevent the son's flagrant disregard for his parents' authority, and which would grow into a disrespect for all authority, including God's, even to the point of being a danger to society, God's laws commanded the parents to report him to the elders, to bring him to the elders, and he was to be executed. I know, it sounds extremely harsh to our ears today. But we need to keep in mind that God's laws, when they are followed, bring peace. They bring a productive, safe society for everyone, for all people. And how different our societies today would be if young men knew that they were subject to such a penalty as this. How differently it would be Would we have such incidences of young men high on drugs, amped up with video game violence, in love with the idea of exercising power by holding an automatic weapon, walking into public places and shooting it up? Would we have incidences like that? Many plagues of our society, such as career criminals, or now we have these mass murderers, gangs and teenage gangs and mass murderers, they'd be snuffed out before they got started if God's law were obeyed in this manner and if the punishment was administered. All of society would be safer and much better off, and innocent people would not be slaughtered in public places. They would not have to live in fear of criminal thugs. But this is what God's law is telling us. Now keep in mind too that God knows that this is not the end of those people who might be subject to such a penalty, because God knows he's going to ultimately resurrect everyone and give everyone an opportunity to truly accept his way of life, to take the choice of obeying his law or going into the lake of fire. Everyone will have that opportunity. So God knows the end of his plan, and he knows what he will do to ultimately resurrect anyone subject to such a penalty. If you come with me now to the New Testament, come over to Matthew 15, and we'll see where Jesus Christ upheld this very same law. Matthew 15, as Jesus was approached by some scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem, who came to him saying, you know, why do your disciples transgress the law of the elders, or tradition of the elders? So they eat with the hands that are not washed before they take bread. That was their concern. Well, why don't they wash their hands before they take bread? They should. That's the tradition of the elders. Well, Jesus Christ saw right through the fallacy or the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And what was the big issue to him was not that they were not washing their hands, but that they were transgressing the commandment of God because of their tradition. He said to them in verse 3 of Matthew 15, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? This is what was bothering Christ. It wasn't the washing of hands, but that they were breaking the law of God with regard to honoring your mother and father. For God commanded, Jesus said in verse 4 of Matthew 15, honor your father and mother. And he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. That's what God commanded, and Jesus Christ repeats that commandment. But you say, verse 5, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, and then he not need honor his father and mother. And thus you've made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. So they were telling young men, okay, don't take care of your parents because you need to give your money to the support of the Levites, the priesthood, the scribes and the Pharisees. You need to give your money to us. And then you could tell your mother and father, who you can't take care of because you've got to give your money to us, well, that's a gift to God from you, because I can give this now, and I'm not giving it to you to take care of you. Well, isn't that the height of hypocrisy? And this was what Christ was incensed about. Why do you transgress the law of God and break this commandment? Jesus Christ upheld this law. And it reminds us when he says that they didn't take care of their own family. Later we read in the New Testament that Paul said, one who does not take care of his own household has denied the faith. He's worse than an unbeliever. That's from 1 Timothy 5. If you're not taking care of your own family and your mother and your father. So the leaders of the people here were circumventing the law of God, upholding a false religion which blinds people to the truth. And Christ was incensed about that. And we know this is coming, that Jesus Christ is coming to rule the nations. And as it says in Revelation, he is coming to rule them with a rod of iron. And so the law of God is going to be enforced. And he will enforce the punishment of the law on the nations of this world. That's the truth of the scriptures. Again, we know that his plan is for everyone to be resurrected at some time in the future. And anyone who falls under that judgment will have an opportunity to repent at some time in the future. Well, God's laws are designed to bring blessings, and they define the behavior that naturally results in peace and safety and prosperity for everyone. So if we followed God's laws, his commandments, it would be good for society, good for the world. If Israel had obeyed, they would be the blessing of the world. Everyone would want to be like them. And we see that in the Old Testament, where God tells them in Deuteronomy, if you keep my commandments, the other nations would say, what nation is this who has such laws as this? We want those same laws. And we know there is coming a time when the whole world is going to seek after the law of God. And this is the time now we're looking forward to, the Feast of Tabernacles, that we're picturing the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, where he comes to this earth and sets up his kingdom and his rule of law with his ministers and priests, which are the resurrected saints, being the ministers of that law, when all the nations of the world will want to keep the law of God because they see the blessings when he establishes Israel again in their land and gives them a new heart and a new mind and puts his laws in them. They will become really the desire of the world to keep. They are good for society, keeping the laws of God. And there will be true respect for our elders, beginning with respect for the King himself, Jesus Christ. The second point I'll make today, that respect for our elders begins in the home. If you look in the New Testament, you can find every single one of the Ten Commandments supported, fully supported in the New Testament. Some of them rewritten almost verbatim from the Old Testament. Let's look at one such place where we find the fifth commandment. It's over in Colossians 3, and we'll look at a couple of these today, a couple of places where we see the fifth commandment upheld in the writings of the New Testament. So Colossians 3 and verse 20. And this is directed right to children. Paul writes to the children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Verse 20 of Colossians 3, directed right to the children. And this commandment, if it's followed, prepares that child for future relationships by learning respect and authority in the home. The child learns to have respect for the rules and the laws of the nation or the society, and respect for all people. He learns to have special respect for people who are in positions of authority because he's learned to give honor to his parents, like his teachers, people in authority over him, his coaches, if he's on a sports team, the police, the government leaders, even in his workplace, those he's working under. Respect for authority begins in the home, and it carries into every aspect of life. But notice the parents' responsibility also to set a good example for their children to learn obedience to God. Verse 21, directed to the fathers, or you may as well say the parents. Fathers, verse 21, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. You know, if you're saying one thing and then doing another, that's just provoking your children. That's just getting them mad. You have to, as a parent, show by your way of life that you practice God's law. God's word is important to you and you follow it in your way of life. And that becomes an example to your children. As it says in Deuteronomy 6, we know this is where we get our Deuteronomy 6 title from for our children's instruction, D6 or Deuteronomy 6. It says you will teach them diligently to your children. Teach God's commandments to your children. Talk of them in your house. Walk when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. So in everything you say and do, you're showing your children respect for God and his commandments. And then you make it so your children learn respect for their elders. And that, again, is going to impact all of their human relationships. And it's interesting, if we look at this passage of scripture right here in Colossians, that the bondservants are mentioned right after this in verse 22. Bondservants comes right in the same passage talking about obedience to your parents. Because in keeping the fifth commandment, this respect for authority flows into all of our human relationships, including that of a bondservant. He says to them in verse 22, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. You know, just don't make it look like you're doing it, like you look like you're obeying or being a good servant, or you look like you're doing the right thing, but you're doing it in your heart, sincerely from the heart, fearing God, as he says, to do all things to the Lord and not to men. Though as Christians, our responsibility is not to men, but to God, to do all things to the Lord and not to men. Another place we find the fifth commandment in the New Testament is Ephesians 6. So here's another example. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Here again, we find the fifth commandment supported, fully supported. And here again, we see that respect for elders begins in the home. Starts off with the children, verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And this means that we are to obey our parents as it agrees with God's commandments. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So this is a repeat, almost word for word, of the commandment in Exodus 20, to honor your father and mother, that you will be blessed, that you'll have a long life, and it will be well with you. Your life will be so much better if you begin right now in your home to obey your mother and father. But this also, notice, is directed to the parents, because they have a responsibility to teach their children in a way that is fitting, that their example shows that they are in truth keeping God's way of life. And you fathers, he says in verse 4, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That means you do it again by your example and by your teaching. And again, as we look at this commandment supported here in the New Testament, it includes bondservants. We looked at it in Colossians 3, and here again in Ephesians 6, bondservants are addressed right after mentioning the fifth commandment. This shows that the fifth commandment extends to honoring all of our elders, all who are over us. Bondservants, he said, verse 5, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. You know, again, doing it to God, not just to please the master's eye, make it look good, but to do it as to God. The respect for elders begins in the home as the child is raised, and the parents bear the responsibility of raising up that child, as it says, in the nurture and training and admonition of the Lord. And the child bears responsibility to obey. Well, truly, this is the first commandment with promise, and obeying it builds a foundation of success in all of our human relationships. Can you imagine being successful in life if you're a stubborn and obstinate person and you have no respect for authority? You will not get very far. The Proverbs, if we go there now, if we come over to the Proverbs, has much to say to a son or anyone who's seeking to have success in life. And the whole point of the book, it was written by a father who wanted his son to have wisdom so that he could have success in life. Let's go look into the Proverbs. There's so much wisdom here that we can draw on in support of the fifth commandment and the blessings that it brings, and the obedience that is required of us. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10 first. Go there first. Proverbs 10. We won't get to all of the Proverbs dealing with the responsibility of a son or a child or a daughter to follow the fifth commandment, but there's plenty here that we could look at in just a few moments here. Proverbs 10 and verse 1, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. A wise son makes the father glad. Foolish one brings grief to his mom. It devastates a parent to see a child grow up to be foolish, not showing honor to the parents. It's just devastating. And on the other hand, it is deeply satisfying for the parents when they see that child being successful in life because they have listened to them. Verse 5, chapter 10. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. And this is comparing and contrasting the diligent son and the lazy one, and showing the diligent son gathers at the time of the harvest. He goes to work when it's time to go to work. But sleeping in the harvest, it's like just closing your eyes to God's blessing, just like not even taking advantage of God's blessing. Sleeping in the harvest, that the harvest is there. All you have to do is go out there and get it. It's there. But you just go to sleep and you deny yourself that blessing. So he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. This shows that children and all of us really, who are seeking to have success in life, need to be diligent. That's what it's telling us here. We need to be diligent about keeping God's commandments and reaping the blessings that comes from them. Another one, verse 1 of Proverbs 13. Verse 1 of Proverbs 13. A wise son heeds his father's instruction. You know, he listens to his dad and says, okay, dad, I got you. I'll do it. A wise son. But a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. He goes away, turns aside. A scoffer does not listen. Here's a wise instruction for a child to heed his parents' instruction, teaching wisdom for success in life, telling a son or a child how to be successful. And again, this is the whole point of the book of Proverbs. You can apply the whole book, actually, to your Christian life. As you're trying to find success in God's way of life and applying his way of life, you're like his child. his son, his daughter. And these are his instructions to you to apply so that you can be successful in this calling that he's called us to obey him and to inherit eternal life, to reap that reward, not only in this life of having success in this life, but inheriting eternal life. Let's look at a couple more. Proverbs 23. And we'll go through several verses here in Proverbs 23, beginning in verse 15. And here in verse 15 of Proverbs 23 is the father imparting wisdom to the son, telling his son, "My son," verse 15, "if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself," this is what's really going to make me happy. In other words, if you are wise. And really that means following God's commandments, doing what is good for you. "Yes," he says, verse 16, "my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things." This is what's really going to make your parents happy. This is what's going to make our Heavenly Father happy and rejoicing in us when we do the right things and speak those right things because we obey him. I can look back on my life and I know that I have disappointed my parents at numerous times. But I think right now, and my mom's dead, but I know my dad is, and I know he's pleased with me. And I don't look at my success in life now as being anything that I could give myself credit to. I can give myself the credit for my success. I give that credit to God. So when my dad looks at me now, and we're on different pages, you know, I didn't quite follow the path that he thought I would in life. I followed my own. But I listened very deeply to his advice. I can remember moments where he told me things that I took to heart and still have those cherished today in me. I'm sure he's long forgotten some of those things, some of those lessons, but they stick in my mind and they're in my heart. And I think he looks at me today and he's pleased. Although we're on different pages where he thinks I should be in this life or what kind of career I should be in, and doesn't agree with my choice of my faith. And I've told you that story before, but we have a deep love and respect for one another, and we truly appreciate one another. And I think he could say that he's happy with the character I've become. And again, I give that credit to God. As it says, for this father is rejoicing when his son is speaking the right things. Good things are coming from his mouth. Then he says, more wisdom here. "Don't let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day." Don't worry about what the evil people have or what the world has, what the world offers. But be zealous for the fear of the Lord all day, the Father says. "For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off." So this is wisdom for eternal life. You obey what I'm telling you, and surely your hope will not be cut off. "Hear, my son," he says, "and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Don't mix with the winebibbers or with the gluttonous eaters of meat." You know, that means really satisfying your flesh with the things in the world, you know, not paying attention to God's law, not applying it to yourself personally, but you just go and party with the world. "For the drunkard," verse 21, "the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty." And what a disappointment that would be for a father or mother to see their child come to that. "And drowsiness will clothe a man with rags." I love that verse. Drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. You fall asleep to wisdom. You fall asleep to instruction. You just get tired of hearing it. Drowsiness to good and right things. What will happen? It will clothe a man with rags. And so that son will not grow up pleasing his parents, not showing them honor. The vices and the traits described here in Proverbs 23, the glutton and the drunkard. Remember what I read earlier, what we read earlier on Deuteronomy 21. The parents had a gluttonous and rebellious son who was a drunkard. It's the same character traits that are listed here in verse 21. And they were commanded, since he had not listened to their discipline and cast off their instruction, did not care to be chastised by them, but became obstinate and rebellious. What was the instruction? That they were to take him to the elders of the city, and the elders of the city were to stone him to death. That is the punishment. Of course, again, we know that God has got a way to fix that, to get our attention at some point if we choose that way of life in this world, if that's what we've decided, then God has a plan to give everyone that opportunity, including the rebellious and gluttonous son of Proverbs 23 and Deuteronomy 21. But he doesn't want that for you, doesn't want that for me. He wants us to have success in life. And therefore he tells us to keep his laws, to keep his commandments. Let's look at another one. One more in Proverbs 29, verse 3 of Proverbs 29. And it really follows along the same with the same wisdom that's already we've already seen here. Verse 3 of Proverbs 29. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth. You know, someone who has decided, I'm going to go the way of the world and spend my money on harlots. Now, what does that remind you of? Is there a story, a parable that reminds you of? It's the prodigal son, where Jesus Christ talked about such a son who went and wasted his father's inheritance on riotous living. And that parable is in Luke 15. We won't turn there, but you'll remember that parable. And how disappointing that father would have been. But we don't see in the parable the disappointment of the father, but we see the son coming to his senses. And this is the real salvation that God is offering to everyone. And this is how shows how merciful God is. Even after we've wasted all of our opportunities in life, even we've gone through life, we've not obeyed, disrespected, not listened to our parents, we end up with the penalty, but God gives us that opportunity to turn and repent. But this son in this parable repented while he was still alive. He came to his senses, remember, and the mercy that his father showed him was just tremendous. It was just so touching and heartwarming when we look at that parable, showing that God's mercy does not fail. He gives us every opportunity to obey his law. And when we really look at the commandment for what the punishment was for the disobedient, rebellious, stubborn son, it was only after God, or only after the parents, rather, had chastised him and raised him and tried to tell him again and again and again, and he wouldn't listen. But God extends mercy, an opportunity to us. Let's come to the third point. Our responsibility as Christians. Honoring your elders is a Christian responsibility. The fifth commandment, as we see in the scriptures, is for us to learn and begin to obey at an early age. God wants us from a childhood to learn to honor and obey our parents for our good. And that respect for authority, that honor and respect we give to our parents, is going to influence all of our human relationships as we grow up. And then our days will be long on earth. You'll find peace with all men if you apply yourself diligently to this commandment. Let's go back to the New Testament and look in Romans 13 and see here how the fifth commandment impacts our lives as Christians. In Romans chapter 13, I think we are familiar with this. When I say call out that scripture, I think you know what we're going to find here. It's about submitting to authorities, all authorities, submitting to governments. As it says in verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, I was thinking about this earlier as I was putting the sermon together, and I don't think I've actually told my wife this story about when I was growing up. I was just coming into some knowledge and understanding of God, and I had a bunch of friends, and we were kind of like Christian buddies. I wasn't in this church. We were in a Lutheran church. And we went to the mall on a Friday night, as I recall. It was a Friday. It could have been a Saturday, but I think it was a Friday. And we had our Bibles with us, and we were out in the food court of the mall. I don't know what we were saying or doing, but I think we were asked to move. I can't really remember the story. But a police officer was there. And something we said or did or our reactions, he noticed our Bible. I think there were several of them there, and he asked for it or picked it up, and he turned to this scripture, and he read verse 1 of Romans 13. I'll never forget that, and he was very pleasant to us, and none of us could disagree, and we all got up and moved. I think that's what the issue was. We had to move and go to a different area of the mall. But what was interesting to me was to see this policeman in his uniform, a figure of authority, picking up the scripture and reading chapter 13, verse 1. He knew his Bible. He was obviously someone who was a church-going man himself, either at that time or at some point in his life. So we are to be subject to governing authorities, and this is a follow-on of obedience to the fifth commandment, right in line. If we're to be law-abiding citizens, that means we're not resistors of authority. As it says in verse 2, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, we could have chosen that night, for instance, to just really resist and say, no, we're not going to move or whatever. And maybe it would have gotten a lot worse. I don't really know, but I can't quite remember all the details, but we'll have reaped the punishment that comes from disobedience to the authority. We'll reap that punishment if we disobey authorities. For rulers, it says, verse 3, are not a terror to good works, but to evil works. If you're doing good, they're happy. That's good. But if you're doing evil, that's where they're going to come down and they're going to pass that judgment, as it says. And continuing in verse 3, do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do you want to be unafraid? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. This is very, very direct to us. We are not to resist authorities and despise authorities and those who are over us. God has placed rulers on earth for our benefit so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives. I'm glad for the authorities that we have in our country. We have the greatest nation on earth, and I know we have a lot of problems, but we have peace and safety, relative peace and safety, because of the authorities that God has put in place and the laws that he's allowed to be brought to our nation, which really go back to the commandments and the respect for God and the creator and giver of life. The basis has formed the basis of many of our laws today. For as it says, he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do what is evil, verse 4, be afraid, For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but for conscience' sake. So this is a double responsibility. You don't want the punishment, and your Christian conscience does not want to be defiled. Obey for conscience' sake, that this is the authority that God has put over you. And for because of this, as he continues here, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. They're continually attending to collecting those taxes and bringing the benefit that comes from paying that. As Jesus Christ himself said when he was asked, Master, should we pay taxes? The Pharisees were trying to trick him. And what was his answer? You remember, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And you'll find that story in Mark chapter 12. Yeah, we are to be good citizens. Be honest, law-abiding citizens, and to pay our taxes, and to thank God for the authorities that he has placed over us. Render therefore, verse 7, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, Peter then, if you go to 1 Peter now, in chapter 2, very similar words of instruction here in 1 Peter chapter 2 to what Paul wrote here in Romans 13, 1 Peter chapter 2. And look there in verse 13. We're going through a number of New Testament scriptures today to really drive home the point that the fifth commandment is fully supported in the New Testament. Verse 13 of 1 Peter 2. Therefore, he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as those who are sent by him. So the king or the governor has people who represent him. He is sent for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Very, very similar to what we read in Romans 13. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And then I think verse 17 really sums it up very well. Four short sentences. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. It shows love for God and love for man and respect for authority, really right in line with the fifth commandment. And there again, note the word to the servants. To the servants. As we've read in the two other places we looked, where we see the commandment to obey parents also flows right into obeying. Even if you're a bondservant, be submissive, it says, to your masters with all fear, verse 18, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. And then Peter continues over in chapter 5. This respect for authority comes right into the church of God, as he says in verse 5 of 1 Peter 5 now. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders, and yes, all of you, be submissive one to another. And properly done, if a minister in the church of God is shepherding the flock, he's not ruling over them with harsh authority, but he's doing it, as he says here in verse 2 and 3, willingly. 1 Peter 5, verse 2, willingly. Not as being lords over them, verse 3, but examples to the flock. The same really responsibility that a parent has for teaching a child God's commandments, to show by good example and by good word obedience to God. The parent does that, and the church, the ministers, is to do that as well. Let's look at a few more verses. Now, in Hebrews, come over to Hebrews, as I bring this final point to a close about the Christian responsibility for honoring our elders. Hebrews 13, I'd like you to notice three verses here in Hebrews 13. All of them support the fifth commandment. Verse 7, verse 17, and verse 24. Three times in the same chapter, Paul writes, first of all, verse 7, remember those who have the rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. There are to be examples for you. Follow their example and remember them. Verse 17, obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. This is the responsibility of the leader in the church of God, to watch out for those who are in the church. To look out as one who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Then he closes the chapter of Hebrews 13 with this. Greet, verse 24, greet all those who rule over you. And greet all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Well, three times in one chapter, Paul is upholding the authority that God places in the church that is for our good, that is to show us by their word and by their example, God's way of life. Just as a parent has for teaching the child in the home. The blessings we know from keeping the fifth commandment are being overlooked in the world today. We know this, that the whole world, as John writes, lies under the sway of the wicked one. That's in 1 John 5, where the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. They're not listening to God's commandments, and they're not reaping the benefits that come from doing that. And I know you're going to recall this verse, 2 Timothy 3, where Paul writes to Timothy that in the last days, perilous times are coming. Well, we're here, brethren. And among the things that he lists is disobedience to parents. He says, for men will be lovers of themselves. This is 2 Timothy 3, very familiar to us. Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Sounds a lot like that stubborn and rebellious son that the parents, after training him up, doing their best with him, just wouldn't listen. And that's what the world has become today, like that stubborn and rebellious son. One day, brethren, as we fervently hope, the whole world will be taken out of Satan's grasp. In that day, the commandments of God will be upheld. And the world will see the blessings that extend from keeping those commandments. And we're looking forward to that time now. This season of the year, we're starting to look at the Feast of Tabernacles. We're looking to that time that Isaiah talked about, and Micah talked about, those millennial prophecies, when it will come to pass. This is either Micah 4 or Isaiah 2. In the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, all authorities of the whole world, God ruling over them. And many peoples will flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us his ways. Can you imagine that now, brethren? The world wants to know the law of God because they see the blessings of it when God brings his people back into his land and establishes and shows them their law. Everyone is going to want to be like them. And it says, he will teach us his ways. We'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the law will go forth and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And we know that he's going to judge at that time between many peoples and rebuke strong nations far off. They'll beat their swords into plowshares and not learn war anymore. So Jesus Christ is coming to establish his rule of law, and all peoples will obey the commandments because they want to obey, because they see the blessings that come. Until that time, though, it is our responsibility as followers of Christ to not only honor our elders, but to honor Christ himself in everything that we do. For that influences all of our behaviors, all of our actions. It brings blessings in life, in this life, and it brings blessings for eternal life. It brings honor to those who deserve honor, to our parents, to our elders, to our authorities over us, in the governments, and in the church of God. And therefore, brethren, let us keep this commandment fully to honor your mother and father in the fullness that God intends.